Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, at that time of the morning, Rabbi join our very own Member of Parliament, Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And jazakallah for joining us on your segment, Parliamentary Tunes. How are you doing, Ahmad?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, day on the city of Cape Town. Well, all is not well on the international front, particularly as far as our Palestinian brothers and sisters are concerned. A UN expert has raised serious concerns that this is an attempt to mass cleanse. Ethnic cleansing is what he calls it, what is happening in the Gaza area. And he's calling on the international community to urgently intervene to try and prevent a repetition of what happened in 1948, which is referred to as the Nakba, and also in 1967, which is called the Nakba. And the latest news is that over 1,900 Palestinians have died, 600 of them, Brother Shafa. Can you imagine? Innocent children, 600 innocent children are also massacred. 7,600 of them are injured. Over 423,000 of them have been displaced thus far. You know, the Palestinians have faced at least five wars since 2008. You know, since that blockade of 2007 by the Israelis. And, you know, it's just not getting any better. They've asked and they've actually urged all living in Gaza in the north to move to the south. And they gave them 24 hours to move. And when some of them decided to move, they decided to attack them. So the situation is quite volatile. Food is still not getting in despite some media reports. I'm advised, as at last night, no food was getting in, nothing was coming through, even though there has been some discussion with Egypt and many others to allow humanitarian aid. One of the pleas by our President Cyril Ramaphosa and the South African government asking for humanitarian aid to enter. So it has not, in our understanding thus far now, nothing has been going through. So can you imagine? No water, no food, no electricity. People forced to flee. It seems like that Israeli has nothing else on their mind to totally continue with the ethnic cleansing, with the international community doing very little, nothing. The saddest thing about this is just the Arab countries all just sitting back and doing very little or nothing about it. I spoke this morning to one of our representatives in Palestine, and he says you could hear some rocket fire in Tel Aviv, in Jerusalem, you can in the West Bank. But he says that no doubt Gaza is still under siege. There's no doubt about it. 10 South Africans, I'm told, that are in Gaza, but late last night they've identified 3 more families that were in Gaza, but they will, as you heard, the president said he'll do everything to evacuate them back to South Africa, but it's got to be done together with the UN facilities that are made available. 2 members apparently are killed. Indications are they might have been in the Israeli Defense Force from South Africa. There is no clarity on that yet. We're just waiting to get confirmation whether indeed they were members of the Israeli Defense Force or what. That is the situation, but I must tell you, it is catastrophic. It is really unbelievable what is going on there. And nobody is coming to the aid. I think South Africa, as small as we are, is the only one that has been outspoken about it thus far. But otherwise, there's very little or nothing that is actually happening. Now, the question that there's a lot of speculation in South Africa. Why did Hamas do what they did, knowing that, of course, there will be retaliation from the Israeli side, something that they will not be able to handle, and they know that Palestine has always been alone in their fight. Countries don't come to their rescue. But more importantly, the question is, how is it that Israel, such a military power, Israel, some of the most sophisticated IT systems in the world, some of the greatest intelligence were caught wanting and have failed miserably in being able to establish timeously that there was an attack. Now, there's a lot of suspicions around there as to what could be behind this. But I think one of the weakest points for the Palestinians is that the division amongst the Palestinians themselves. And, of course, this is created by, of course, we know the West, the divide-and-rule policy, which is what is in South Africa as well. So this is the situation, in a nutshell, of what is happening in Palestine currently. The latest, I mean, I've given you a figure overnight. Can you imagine 600 children, innocent children, died? Can you imagine?
Ahmad, you know, I want to look at a very plausible, you know, thought here. Perhaps you could correct me. When you look at 9/11, you know, when that was perpetrated, the Americans, the defense system was off. Everything was off. They allowed this to happen. No radar was working, and it happened. And you know what they did? They used that 9/11 to go perpetrate you know, war on the Muslim world. They went into Iraq, they went into Afghanistan, and they mayhem ruled. This year, this situation here, the Iron Dome wasn't working. Certain things were not working, but they allowed this to happen. It just to unleash what they unleashed now. You know, the genocide, which is unthinkable. And, you know, the whole world is like keeping quiet, like mesmerized and not allowing anything. Could it be a plausible thing that the IDF, or the Israeli intelligentsia, knew exactly what was going to happen? Ahmad, what's your thoughts?
Well, that is a question that many people are asking. How is it that you were not prepared, yet you know there's attacks take place all the time, all over, you attacking people every day, you know? But the other aspect is this. That, I mean, what the Israelis have gone through, the Palestinians go through every single day of their life for the last 75 years. And, you know, the question that arises is what do you do? Do you just sit back and do nothing and allow them to continue? Or at some stage you retaliate? It's, you know, it's like asking a person, why are you a terrorist? Nobody gets up overnight and decides, I want to be a terrorist. You know, it's something happens, something triggered it over a period of time, like you have in many of our townships, kangaroo courts. Why do people take their laws into, why do people rise? People rise not because they want to be terrorists, but they have to resist what is happening. So people decide eventually we've got to act, and that's basically the other possibility that has happened here. My only question is, did you not expect this retaliation from the Israelis? And knowing that you are alone, you've got no support in the Arab countries and things. So that is the question. But taking that into consideration and what is happening and the divided rule policy, 9/11 being an ideal example, it seems like this has been very, very well planned. So that when this happens, all you're going to say, no, we are now defending, we are retaliating because of what they have done, what Hamas has done. You understand, and that's why they're continuing with their atrocities. So perhaps this is what it is all about, and our people have fallen into the trap. So I don't know. You know, it's a very difficult situation. Other than I can tell you, life is a living hell for our people there, and something has to be done. Something must be done. All the cries of the Palestinian people and many others asking for the international intervention. I mean, look at what the Human Rights United Nations expert is saying, that unless they act and act immediately, okay, there's going to be catastrophic consequences for the Palestinian people.
And then the silence is deafening. It's really happening.
Absolutely, absolutely. Deafening is an understatement, to be honest with you. Nothing. You know, Brother Jacob, there's something more to this than that. Let me tell you. Remember, there's a gas find in Gaza. Number two, remember that Russia has got all the gas reserves. And remember also that Saudi Arabia and other countries, Middle Eastern countries, are talking to the West, Europe, and others because they need an alternative to the Russia's gas reserves. And this is perhaps something that is why you'd find that the Middle Eastern countries are not even coming to the rescue. Not at all. So there is more to it than people really think that is going on. Remember, they lost the war in the West lost the war in Ukraine. Nothing has happened there. Now they're focusing on them. So I think this is very well planned, planned internationally, exactly what COVID was, exactly what 9/11. This is another attempt. But I think many countries are raising their voices. But that is all they're doing, Brother Shepherd, raising the voices and nothing more. That is not going to solve the problem. We need more than just raising voices.
In the meantime, the devastation is, you know, on a very massive scale. And it seems as if the whole world is acting in such a manner that it's, you know, they're sinning against the intelligence of mankind, or it's an insult to be a human being in during this time, because what is happening in front of us. But I'm looking at a composite here. Golda, you remember Golda Meir was the only female prime minister of Israel, yes, who ruled from 1969 to 1974. Now, this is what she said, Ahmed. Listen to this. When we burnt Al-Aqsa Mosque, I did not sleep the whole night for fear of Arab armies entering Israel from all around. But when the sun rose the next morning, I came to know we can do anything we want, for we are facing a Muslim nation which is fast asleep. And they're still asleep, Ahmed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's more than just fast asleep. I think it's total arrogance. You know, total arrogance. They're not willing to come to the rescue. And I'm not asking them to go and go on an all-out war. The least they can do is put pressure on Israel, put pressure on the authorities through boycotting, trade boycotts, closing the embassy. There's a whole lot that they can do to put pressure. They have everything, all the wealth, all the resources, they have everything that they want. Exactly the same thing with what's happening in India. They continue to employ Indians from India. They can't, but they say nothing about it and they do nothing about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Then, you know, look at messages coming through, and the former Israeli war minister, Moshe Ya'alon, suggested during a Channel 12 interview that Israelis should lower expectations of what the Israeli army will be able to do in Gaza. He says that the army must strike a massive blow to Hamas after its onslaught. However, he laments that there will likely be additional rounds of fighting in Gaza after the current one. What type of fighting, Ahmed, you know, when already three-quarters of Gaza is in wreck and ruins, what type of fight can you put up, Ahmed, when you see around you?
Yes, well, I think what basically is referring into, yes, that while Hamas and others maybe may get defeated in this round, it's not going to stop there, it's going to escalate it. But you made a very important point. What is going to be left there? Who is going to be left there? That is the situation. Now, let me tell you, what is happening is this, that, you know, the focus of attention and why so many people, you know, because they have not been educated about what is going on there, make this look like it's a Muslim war with Christians or the Jews. The problem is that most of the Christians have fled Gaza and many other areas many years ago. They fled to other countries because of the atrocities committed by the Israelis. And if you listen to some of the rabbis and the bishops and some of the pastors and all these, you would hear that they've raised concern after concern after concern. There is a difference, and people fail to understand, between the Zionist and an ordinary Jew and then the Christians. This is the problem. This is a Zionist supremacy policy or principle that is being applied. Now, there are people that are raising these, but the mainstream media is doing very little or nothing to get this message across. All they want to make it look like it's a Muslim-Christian thing. And the fact of the matter is this, that amongst all those are affected, it is mainly Muslims, yes. Not because the Christians have never been affected, or so they are affected currently, but more importantly, a large percentage of them have fled. And up to this very day, they are in different parts of the world, and they are raising serious concerns about Israel and its conduct. So you know, that is the unfortunate thing about it is, and I think that more needs to be done to communicate that message to the masses on the ground, what this is all about.
You know, Ahmed, you make a lot of points also. I just want to add on here, if you look at the world, the polarization, you find that there is a huge Christian Zionist belt from America that's praised for Israel and supports Israel in all ways. And if you find in Africa, quite a few of these churches are actually praying for Israel. And, you know, it's shocking that they've been duped. Not forgetting the Hindu Israeli alliance, a Zionist Hindu alliance, where the Indians themselves are praying for Israel. And you find a Hindu ceremony in Varanasi offering prayers for Israel by the river Ganges. And the Hindu BJP, or the Hindutva BJP, very close allies with Netanyahu and his regime. And at times, Modi and Netanyahu, when they hugged each other, and I think even Netanyahu spoke some Hindi with him. You know, and this is the sad state of affairs, that these type of people are actually showing how much of hatred they have for Islam and Muslims in general, where they even, when it's genocide, they share secrets with each other how to go and, destroy Muslim nations. Your thoughts, Ahmed?
Well, who is to blame for it, Brother Shepherd? We are our own greatest enemies. We still employ these people. We still want to trade with them. We still want to associate with them. We want to befriend them. We want to do everything with them. Tell me if you remember that when at one stage the atrocities that were being committed in India and some of the Indian government, it was Qatar and one or two others that raised their concerns, immediately the Indian government backtracked because they felt it was a threat and it was going to affect them. So tell me something, what stops all these countries from saying, take all your citizens back, we don't want them. No money will ever leave our country and go back to your country. Why don't they do that? They won't do it. But here it is, a Palestine. They know the history of Palestine. Are they coming to the rescue of Palestine? No. Are they using the power that they have to be able to do that? They're not. So can we blame others when our own people are conducting themselves in that manner? We can't. This is the problem. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with everything, we still believe we need these other people. So what do you do? So that's the difficulty. So perhaps you need some kind of rising amongst the ummah, you understand, to get them to start thinking and doing. I'm actually surprised that some of them that are even expected to say something and do something, you know, they I don't know when they're going to act. How many more Palestinian lives must be lost? How many more people must be displaced? How many children must die before anybody's going to wake up and say, hey, hold on, enough is enough? So our people can do. So you don't blame the other people if our people behave in that manner. Saudi Arabia wants a relationship with them. Why does he want a relationship with them? Okay? And Saudi Arabia is doing everything to want to work with Israel. He hasn't said he doesn't want to work with them. He said he's just suspending talks. That's all he's done. But ultimately, he can't be trusted. So this is the problem we are facing, my brother. Unless we get our house in order, we will face this. The only other solution, to be honest with you, is, and which is exactly what is happening, the rise in the numbers. We are now 2.2. We used to be 1.6. And like many people have predicted, including Muammar Gaddafi, that, you know, Islam will be the driving force in most parts of the world. I think that's the route to go. Because so that we can be in control of our destiny. But right now, we have a serious problem. You can't rely on the leaders. No, you can't. Definitely can't rely on our leaders.
Yeah, I'm looking at a message. Yeah, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Mandur Sheikh Imam. You have a close rapport with the Palestinian embassy and also the Russian embassy. Allah bless you for that. And you can be giving us updates there. But I want you to ask the Palestinian embassy. Yeah, we have many organizations collecting money for the Palestinian projects and for the Palestinians. If aid can't get through from Egypt and other countries who are right nearby there, how will our money go there? How do you advise, Ahmed, the people of South Africa? Sometimes they are very confused. As soon as there's a crisis, and not within a few seconds, the appeals are on. Ahmed, we should be interrogating this. No one does. Ahmed, your response to the brother?
Jazakallah, my brother. Very, very, very important point you made there. I was advised by them a couple of days ago that, you know, and they were aware of a lot of money we collect in and all. And as far as they were concerned, absolutely nothing. As at early hours of this morning, that's the confirmation I've got from Palestine that nothing is able to get in there. So when I discussed this with the Palestinian embassy a few days ago, it was exactly the same concern. What are you collecting for? Because where is it going? It can't go in there. Nobody's going to allow it to go in there at all. It's not. And you saw what happened when they threatened the Egyptians, number one, threatened them. And more importantly, when they did attack some of the vehicles that were going past the Egyptians. So nothing was going through. So I'm not sure what they're doing with it and things. However, if the would the pleas by our president and others to allow humanitarian aid to go in, even by UN, it may at some stage, they may at some stage allow it. But on the other hand, if you look at northern Gaza at the moment, they want to clear them out. They want FTP, clear them out completely. So I'm not sure to what extent it's going to reach there. Perhaps it will reach there at some stage. So when the tensions ease, how long that is going to take, I don't know. But currently, with all the collections and things that have been made, I would also like to know how did it go, when did it go, where did it go, who is taking it there? Because I'm told you're not allowed to do that. I don't know. I've also seen a report, somebody saying that gift of the givers is there. I'm not of that because according to what I've heard, there's nobody there. They're not allowing anybody at this stage. Nobody. It's a complete blockade. That is what they are saying. But there are reports that there's been discussions to allow that, which they said that they will allow for some period of time or whatever. But there was no indication that that it is getting through at this stage. Perhaps maybe later in the day I'll perhaps hear more.
No, absolutely, Ahmed. And as you said, you know, many information coming through. But it is mind-boggling. You're talking about appeal going through and this happening. I remember, you know, talking on another platform in my earlier years in broadcasting to a professor in Gaza. And I asked him, he said, you know what, all those goods and all that medicine you sent us is in the sheds, is in the warehouses blockaded by the Israelis. And they have expired. Ahmed, I mean, this is mind-boggling. I think you need to emphasize and, put this point through that be careful what we're doing. And perhaps we should do it with the embassies, Ahmed. Your thoughts?
Yes, indeed. I think that you are absolutely correct. I think in coordination with the embassies. And that is not what is happening. And that is very, very troublesome because you're collecting monies from people, you're collecting goods and things, and you are correct. There's been a whole lot of stuff that was there that has expired. If you look at that, they attacked on hospitals and they want to attack the hospitals and everything else they want to do, you know, collecting this stuff and it's going to go there and waste it. We must look at means, what would better suit the current situation there. That is very important. I mean, no water has been able to get through. There's no electricity. There's no food at all. You understand? And if these items are not allowed in at the moment, then what are you doing with them? When is it going? Is it going to get in there? Or is it going to get in there when it's expired, when it's of no value anymore? So I think there are some very important questions that have been raised by the caller. I think you are correct. I will speak to the embassy again this morning. You know, I last spoke to them late last night and to get an update on that and what the situation is so that we will know whether food aid can go in and other, you know, aid so that otherwise there's no purpose. There's no point in us actually collecting them if there's no assurance that it's going to reach the people who were actually looking for that assistance in aid. I agree wholeheartedly.
Alhamdulillah, lovely messages coming through. Iqbal says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam and Shafaz Ahmed Khan. You guys are really asking the right questions. May I remind Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam and yourself that for years and years we've been collecting money and giving and rebuilding certain structures there in Gaza. Just a few months later, for the Israelis to bomb it again. What game is this? Are we so stupid in doing this? Why don't we unite and once and for all get rid of the root cause, the cancer that is ruining us, the cancer that is within us, the cancer of Zionism. Ahmed, how you respond to our brother there?
Yeah, you can see brothers are raising pertinent points, and they are absolutely correct. You are collecting, and look at these people are destroying. We need to get to the bottom of it and find the solution once and for all. What are we going to do? What action? If you look at the I saw a Pakistani video, I think, the other day, on a, just talk about the issue of boycotting products. You'll be shocked at how many things that you are using daily in your own home, either through food consumption or any other product that are either directly or indirectly Israeli linked or funding Israel. You'll be shocked. And these are some of the things that we need to look at. And that's why I want to urge those organizations that are doing these things, the boycott organizations and things, you need to do a lot more research and educate our people. And people, our people need to buy alternatives. The best place to hurt anybody.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.